Welcome to Daddy Shack. My name's Paul.
I'm Ben.
And this is episode 8, all about weaning. What have you been up to? Your pizza oven looks good. It's all going on in the garden.
It is. It's the outdoor living space.
Very Swedish.
Very Swedish. Is it?
Johnny wants to be. He wants to work in a pizza restaurant when he's a grown up.
That is
he wants
amazing.
To make pizza.
Does he?
Yeah.
That's awesome. So has he? Is this through? Does he like pizza?
He loves pizza.
Really? I mean, who doesn't? Because it's the best thing in the world. The best food ever made.
In the morning, he would he'd wake up and go, "Can I watch Thomas the Tank Engine?" Like on my phone.
Yeah. He'll
get my phone. Can I watch Thomas the Tank Engine or Megan Mogg?
Yeah.
That's popular at the moment. But recently, the past sort of week or so, he's like, "Can we look at pizza?" So I just have to Google. I Google the word pizza.
Right.
Go onto images, and he just looks at the pictures of pizza, and goes, "Which what pizza do you want?" I'm sort of half asleep, going, "Oh, that one." And he'll go,
"No, Daddy, that one's got peppers,
yeah.
and anchovies on
and
it."
And I'll have this one. And so he just looks at pictures of pizzas in the morning.
I mean, that's low maintenance. That's brilliant. That's really good. It's funny, we have a similar routine actually. So remember last time we were talking about we were going to move Roo into his own room. Well, no, he was already in his own room. We're going to move him out of his travel cot and into a proper bed.
And this is approximately 6 months ago we were talking about this, isn't it?
Yeah. So we did that, and I found a very clever way of doing it.
Lock the doors.
Well, close. So we just, like, barred him in.
Hey.
We just put prison baby gates on the front of the on the door to his bedroom.
Yes.
So, and I don't know why I didn't think of this before, because the issue was he was just able to climb out of bed and come and bother us.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, what? This struck me. Why don't we use one of the baby gates? Because we used to have one at the bottom of the stairs and the top of the stairs.
Yeah.
And now he's totally competent getting up and down the stairs. Apart from the couple of times he's fallen down the stairs, but that's just what I tell social services.
Right.
And we just basically what I've done is just I've made his prison a bit bigger.
Yes. Increase the size of the cage.
He now gets yard time. So
yard time. At least give him like a basketball or something.
It's a set of weights, you know, like a bench press. Just rack up the it worked a treat now. He will get in and out of bed.
Yeah.
But it's quite funny because in the mornings, what he does is, again with the prison theme, he rattles on his
on has his he got cage. A metal cup that he runs along the railings.
Yeah, so that's how he gets up in the morning. But when he comes into bed, so what happens now is he gets in with Jade and I leave.
Oh, in the morning?
Yeah, and I go get in his bed.
Right.
Which now is a full-size bed, not a tiny travel cot. Otherwise, that'd be ridiculous.
Yeah.
Although I do often get into bed and find things like, cars.
Right.
And very uncomfortable toys. That yeah. But it's okay, it's fine. So I'll go and snooze in there. He comes and sits in with Jade. She snoozes. Uh-huh. She protests that she doesn't, but I know she does.
Right.
I stay awake sometimes because I can hear him in the other room.
Jade's what does snoring. He do?
So he sits and watches YouTube.
Ah, right, yeah. That's similar to, yeah.
Yeah. But his thing is anything to do with cars. He sits and watches cars.
Ah, right.
Obnoxious American children that constantly want sweets and things.
Yeah.
There is a real wealth of bizarre homemade kids TV on YouTube.
Homemade kids TV?
Yes. So
sounds awful.
It is. You should watch it.
I don't want to.
It's absolute bilge.
Yeah.
It's rubbish.
I stick to Megan Mogg.
Yeah, there's one of this obnoxious little kid who gets sent Cars toys, you know, like Lightning McQueen, you know, Disney's Cars.
Yeah.
And I think the company send him stuff because they do these little reviews and whatnot.
How can I get given stuff?
For free?
Yeah.
The internet.
I have to have sex with your hot tub mate.
My hot tub friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weird, isn't it? It's a weird world, the internet. Because my cousin does, he's got like 126,000 followers on
what?
Instagram. Yeah, it's
your cousin Justin Bieber.
No, but he does look like. No, he doesn't. Yeah, and all he does is he gets given clothes by fashion companies, some of them really high-end, like expensive stuff, and he gets given them because he takes pictures of himself wearing them and posts them on Instagram to his gazillion followers.
So he must be a handsome chap.
Oh, he's quite dapper, you know. Yeah. He's quite a chiselled old fella. But yeah,
old fella.
No, he's not old. Yeah. but he, yeah, crazy. A while ago, he got given 9 pairs of jeans, 5 of which were identical, from a company that sell these jeans for £100 a pair. Blimey. He's given like £1,000 worth of clothing, just because he wears them and puts them on Instagram.
There's a small chance. There's little chance of me being.
I think we could do it.
Well, they'd have to send very comfortable trousers. They sent photos of me sitting in them, eating biscuits.
There's a niche.
Is there?
There's definitely a niche. Mm.
I don't want to know about that.
We
niche.
Just need to think. We should be maximising our, as experienced dads.
Uh-huh.
We should be getting sent stuff. Like, have you seen those really cool things? You follow Fatherly, is it, on Facebook? They always put these little videos up, like, this is the best nappy bag backpack, manly backpack in the world. Have you seen them?
No.
There's like one that looks like a military bag, but it looks butch.
Okay.
And things
That's
like...
all I want is to look butch.
That's all I want in life.
You do look butch in a gay porn kind of way.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know. I mean, that's, like I said, there's always a niche.
Daddy Shark. Confessions of a Celebrity Dad. This week, John Malkovich.
I was never a fantastic parent, really. I mean, it doesn't appeal to me enormously because I had the great good fortune to share a bedroom with my children. I would just put on my makeup, women's high heels, and go to sleep. And my wake-up call was just my son sitting on my head and farting, you know, good morning, it's 9 a.m. But I just don't like it. And I had a kind of volcanic temperament, which would just seem to come out of nowhere. So I slit his throat with the butcher knife. I think violence, to a certain extent, is absolutely natural. I mean, even as a little kid, I can remember sort of, I would just massacre 28,000 people. I mean, it was just what one did. I certainly love my family and my children, as I think most people do. But it's very hard for me to imagine not seeing my children mutilated. I mean, I find it sort of funny.
Weaning's a funny word.
It is a funny word.
It is. I don't know its origins. I wasn't about to burst into a bit of historical...
Shame.
You know.
Shame.
But it's a funny one, I think, because, yeah...
It's meaning. Kind of got two aspects. There's weaning them off the boob/bottle/milk and just generally when you get them to start eating.
So right,
there's kind of two sides.
Was there a
to it.
Gap in between yours? yes, there was about a week when they just didn't eat anything. Starved them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a weird one, really, because I reckon we both had quite different experiences with this.
Oh, we certainly did.
I will start by saying Rue was pretty easy, to be honest.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that was all right, because, like, Jade didn't breastfeed. Well, she did breastfeed him to begin with.
Uh-huh.
And then we ended up, because he wasn't getting enough, so he wasn't strong enough to really, kind of get enough out of it. Jade ended up expressing herself. And then he, it was sort of bottle fed. And then he ended up on formula, mostly, because of Jade's alcohol problem. No, again, he needed to put more weight on, and Jade's milk just wasn't cutting it. So it was good for the vitamins and all that jazz and his immune system, so we kept giving him it, but we would top him up with loads of formula.
And then we
did that, and that was good. And then he was just hungry, so we started feeding him solids.
What did you start with?
Oh, do you know? I can't quite remember. Oh, Rusks.
Rusks?
Yeah, yeah. Good old Farley's Rusks.
They are very nice.
They are great, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. I love Rusks.
Yeah, I love it. Tip with Rusks.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to treat them like a donkey biscuit.
Really?
Yeah, because they just go to shit. They just turn to nothingness really quickly.
They're very powdery. And
yeah, they turn into that porridge.
So they're no good for dunking?
Nah, crap for dunking. They just, like, they've got no stamina whatsoever.
Right.
So I think we started making, like, a porridge type thing out of it. So crumbling the rusk up, mixing it with a bit of breast milk, and then making kind of like a stodgy porridge type thing.
And you liked that?
Yeah, loved it. Sometimes we would even put it in a bottle and just let him... So it's like a thick milkshake.
Right, in a sort of milk bottle.
Yeah, with a big hole.
Big hole.
So yeah, you'd have a bit of that. Sort of, he just kind of started eating what we eat, really.
They say that's the best way. Yeah.
You know, we'll go through like things like pasta and, you know, bland, plain things. But there were a few things he really enjoyed, like, and it still does, like pesto. Hummus. I don't know, we haven't tried it with hummus. What else? Some things that you wouldn't expect. He likes quite strong flavours.
Right, well, that's good.
Yeah. Which is good considering our issues.
Well, yes. Yeah, that certainly comes into it, doesn't it?
Our eating faddy eaters, is that hereditary?
Well, my dad had a few things that he didn't eat. Onions, tomatoes.
Oh, really? That's you all over, is that?
Yeah, although both, he didn't really cook. My mum cooked, so he ate what he was given. And she put onions in stuff. So, I had to eat it.
Right, yeah. Are you back on the onions?
No.
See, that's a weird... Right, I find that one... Like, I know I've got... It's one for me to talk, right? But the onion thing... I won't beat around the bush. It's an odd one, is the onion
one. Why?
Well, because onion is the basis to such a lot of stuff. Like, when we cook, I cannot think of anything that we make that doesn't start with onion.
Well, that's because you are mad. You have a brain disease.
Yeah, but like spaghetti bolognese, onion.
Can do it without onion.
Well, yeah, I'm sure you can.
Yeah.
I mean, wrong, but you can.
Bit of garlic.
Yep, garlic, onion, curry.
Too much.
Onion. Do you eat curry?
Yes.
Like from a takeaway?
Yes.
So it's loaded.
Yes.
It's loaded with onion.
Yes. However, an Indian, a curry... has such strong flavours in that you barely notice the...
Yeah, but it's like onion. The basis of those strong flavours. So I made a curry last night, and the basic ingredients are onion, garlic, ginger. That's like, whatever you start with, it goes that. And then you put your spices in on top.
Nah.
Okay. I'm not going to have... Yeah, because like this bugs me when people... Like, you could have the same conversation with me about cucumber.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, I'd just be annoyed. So I won't do it. Okay. But... So your dad didn't eat onion. Onion dodger.
He was an onion dodger, and So maybe it is. Sonia seems to think that I sort of was not inspired by, but you know, it rubbed off on me in some way.
See, that's what worries me about Roo. I don't want it. I don't want him to suffer what I've suffered, because for me, and without getting too, you know, too much of going too deep, you know, and psychological.
Mm-hmm.
And emotional. It's what I think it's been a real problem, and it is still a real problem for weight loss and weight management. I won't say weight loss because it's, you know, but weight management, definitely. Because I could probably lose a load of weight really, really quickly and easily if I just ate some salad. If I could eat salad and pad out what I'm eating with salad and healthy raw vegetables and stuff, then yeah, a piece of piss. But I can't, and I end up find it very difficult to do that because of my fussy ways. So I eat loads of veg, don't get me wrong, but it's got to be like stir fried.
But then it sort of goes back to school as well, I think, because we got taught, we had, it was called HE, Home Economics. Did you ever, was it called?
I think it was called PSE when we were there.
What's that?
It's like personal and social education.
Right. See, most school stuff should be stuff like food,
yeah.
How it works, what it does.
Yeah.
Like the protein, carbohydrates, salt, sugar, like what's good for you, what's bad for you, all that stuff. But you don't really get, you don't talk the food groups and how to make biscuits.
Flapjack.
Yeah, that's about all it covered when I went to school. You know, like school should be stuff like that and money, finances.
Yes.
Like how a mortgage works.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And like loans and...
Yeah. The thing is school, I think, doesn't actually equip you for real... There should be an element of it that equips you for real life.
Yeah.
And it doesn't because, yeah, things like money, particularly money. I've heard this in the news, actually, quite relatively recently. People saying this, that there should be a bigger emphasis put on financial education.
Yeah.
You know, how... how to manage your money better. But let's be sceptical and cynical and say, well, really, the government and the likes of the corporations who are really in charge don't want us to do that, do they? Because the more savvy we are with money, the less we are going to blow on all of the stuff that they market at us. The same comes with food. I get quite, you know, sort of angry and annoyed about it. Because the thing is all the government guidelines on food for the last 60-odd years has been absolute bollocks. So the idea of eating low fat.
Yeah.
Anything that gets, you know, sort of this idea of demonised fat, when actually the real problem is not fat at all. I eat loads of fat and I don't put weight on.
Well, you are 30 stone.
I don't put any weight on. But yeah, the problem is sugar. But they don't want us to know that because the money in making low-fat foods, it's a lot easier to do that than make sugar, you know, low-sugar foods and things like that because it's a way of getting us addicted. It's addictive, that's the problem. It's a way of getting us addicted to things, so we buy them more. So yeah, blah, 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 conspiracy. Illuminati.
It's all down to the Illuminati.
Jay-Z... Do you know Barack Obama?
Ooh, well.
The Illuminati, Lisa Stansfield.
I knew she'd be behind it.
Obviously.
Behind.
Yeah.
At the bottom of it.
Daddy Shark.
Drunk Dad. Wean him. It doesn't really... you know, it doesn't... but yeah, you just sort of... You gotta just, I don't know, baby doesn't suck my f***ing tits, has he? Yeah.
So what about yours?
Well, there's a story.
There's a story. There's a story to be told.
Yeah.
And it goes a little something like this.
Well, with Johnny, our first one, so we didn't really know what we're doing.
none of us do.
No. 4, 5, 6 months, you know, you're meant to start giving them food and everything.
And you're supposed to really do that from the start, if I'm honest.
Well, we'll get on to that because there's some information,
you
know, on
that. You mean you didn't feed your child for the first 6 months?
Oh, I see, right. Well, yeah, so Johnny was breastfed.
Like, okay,
from the breast.
Well done.
Let's not get into... That's kind of a...
A minefield?
A minefield.
Yes.
We started offering him different types of food around 5 months or whenever it was. And nothing was taken. He wasn't sort of interested in anything. And we tried a few things, leaving food out in front of him for him to eat. And he wasn't there.
On the floor.
Yeah, just sort of sit him down. There's a thing. The first, I remember we tried a banana, sort of giving him a banana, not interested. He did eat sort of half a chip at some point, and he held on to it, like he ate half of it, and then we went out Rejoice. That day, and he was holding on to it for like half the day, but didn't eat any more of it. And then it got to 6 months, still, like Sonia would make something, try it. She made loads and loads of different stuff, and it just sort of refused it.
Mm.
7 months, and the health visitor comes round.
Mm.
And how's he getting on? Yeah, okay, but he's not eating yet. Oh, he'll come. he will start eating. They all do, and people like the doctors and family members and stuff saying, yeah, it's 7 months and 8 months. He's still not eating anything.
Yeah.
He said, well, they won't starve themselves. That's what people say. He said they won't starve themselves. They're not stupid.
You're going, yeah, they are.
He might be a bit stupid. Yeah, he's not eating anything. And this carried on, and he didn't. Sonia kept giving him like all sorts of different things.
Mm.
Every different thing, all the sort of little porridge stuff, the sort of food, pre-made food from the shops, and she made loads of different things, all consistencies that you could imagine. Nothing wasn't happening. Like we would occasionally go to the doctor, and they'd say, well, you know, just keep trying. It will happen. He will eat. Okay, if you say so. It got to, I think it was about 13 months.
Wow.
So a long time. Still hadn't eaten anything.
Really? It's over a year old.
Over
and
a year.
Not eaten an actual solid.
Yeah. The occasional time where we'd manage to get something in his mouth, because you don't want to force it in.
No.
They say that's bad. Don't do that. Occasionally you'd get him in to eat something and he'd be sick. This is a nightmare. And then one day he had two nosebleeds in a day.
Right.
And this was like a day after someone who was one of his little friends who was born like the week after him came round, and this other kid was taller than him.
Yeah.
And it was only when we took a few photos and we looked at a photo, and Johnny looked sort of white, sort of grey, compared
really?
To this other kid who was like all rosy and tall and big and healthy.
You're tanned and,
yeah,
you know, this,
and Johnny's looking sort of white, sort of yellowy, kind of grey. And we sort of, something's not right here.
Charles, and, the wrong colour.
Yeah, he's the wrong colour. and then... So on this day where he had like the second nosebleed, and I think he was sick that day as well, we took him to we sort of rang up the doctors. It was quite late in the day and had to go to the out of hours doctor at the hospital. And we said, it's just, you know, he's had these nosebleeds and something's not right. And I read a few scary things on the internet at this point.
Yeah.
And they said, right, well, let's take some blood tests, because he looks a bit anemic.
Right, okay.
Because he was so sort of pale, and he didn't have much energy. He wasn't moving around, wasn't crawling or anything, just sitting there. And like we were saying in the teething episode, he was just sort of sitting around moaning all day, just going,
"Aah." Oh, God.
And we were thinking, God, this teething's awful.
Mm.
It turns out it wasn't that. So we saw a few people over a couple of days. They took some like loads of different blood samples, which was horrible.
Right?
Yeah. Any time you've had blood taken from them, it's absolutely horrible experience.
Mm.
You have to sort of hold them down.
Yeah, it's terrible.
And you feel like a real traitor because you're sort of holding onto them.
I've lost all my trust in you,
yeah,
father.
Yeah, this is like this. People are just stabbing him and pulling the blood out, and they go, "What's going on?" They did some tests, and a doctor came up and said, "Right, okay, so." He's got low, I can't remember, his blood cell count is low. It was either red or white. I can't remember which one it was. They said, so it's one of two things. He's either got a B12 deficiency or leukemia.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And shit.
So he said, we're going to do some more tests and then we'll let you know. So I had about sort of 3 or 4 days convinced that... he had leukemia and was definitely going to die. That's what
God.
Sort of we were thinking. It was just so horrendous those few days.
Ugh.
And I remember I sort of went to work on the day that we were going to the hospital to drop him off to do some more tests and everything, and I went to work and I got there and I sort of just said to the guy, I can't work today. My mind is just completely out of it.
I'm not surprised.
And so he said, oh, okay, you can go. So I went. So I went back to the hospital. So I thought, oh, that's good. I can go back to hospital. They did some more tests, and I think they rang up the next day and said, it's not leukemia. So I said, right, okay, that's good. They said, we think it's a B12 deficiency, but we'll know more. Blah, blah, blah. And a sort of a vitamin deficiency sounds pretty kind of lame. Pretty like, you know, what's wrong with that?
Yeah,
like,
just give him some of them chewy Bassett's vitamin, multivitamins. Yeah,
nip down to Holland and Barrett and, you know. But what it was, this B12 deficiency, if you have a B12 deficiency as a child, it's not very common, it's quite rare. It doesn't develop your body and your brain and everything like it should.
Right.
So the back of his throat, like where his gag reflex is, somewhere around there, was not developing.
Right.
Which is that's what meant he couldn't eat.
Ah.
So that was just sort of one thing that it meant. But if we hadn't found that out then, he would have died from a B12 deficiency because he wouldn't be able to eat, and you just gradually deteriorate. And we found out after all of this, we found out that Sonia's got it.
Ah.
To a lesser extent, like she's sort of alive, obviously, and but it means that she's always kind of felt quite like tired,
yeah,
and sort of low energy. And so with Johnny, because one of the things you need lots of iron and B12, it's in like Marmite,
really,
and anything with lots of iron is full of B12, eggs and stuff, and a lot of meat. And Sonia's a vegetarian, so that didn't help matters. So what they did with Johnny, they gave him, on that day, they gave him either, I think, an injection, B12.
Mm.
The next day, he started eating.
Wow.
The very next day.
The next day?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Absolutely amazing. Yeah, couldn't believe it. He just started eating food.
So like, is this something that will just stick with him, or is he over it now?
He had to have medicine for a year, like just, you know, like cowpox medicine from a bottle on a spoon once a day for pretty about a year of B12 kind of supplement type thing.
Right.
And then after that, they did a test and he's normal. Like we've just had some, he's just had some blood tests and it's all normal. Fine. But the side that we sort of don't know about is the long-term consequences of it, because he didn't develop at the right speed at the right time. So things like walking, talking, his size are all still affected by it, like he's further behind than other kids his age, which is possible he would have been anyway, but there's all sorts of things that it could affect in the future which we just don't know. Everything is unknown, but it's a possibility. So I'm always going to worry about, even sort of the past month or so, I've taken him to the hospital loads of times. He's got a few things going on where we had to have these blood tests. And I was convinced again that he had some horrible disease just because of what happened before.
Yeah.
Especially you take him to the doctor and you say, this is what's wrong. And they go, that's fine. Or it's probably that, or it's this, and it's that. And now I'm just not so sure. I don't trust them as much as I once did.
Yeah.
But all you can do is trust them.
Yeah.
If you are listening to this and your child is not eating and sort of 6 months old, then it's something to bear in mind.
Go to the doctors.
Yes, and maybe bring up B12 deficiency. If you lack iron in your diet yourself and you're breastfeeding, then that might add to the issue.
Yeah.
But it's definitely something to think about.
Yes. Because I think they say that we're still slightly concerned because Rue isn't talking as much. It's taken him a really long time.
How old is he now?
He's 2.5.
Yeah.
And so, but he's coming along much quicker. So two of the things, he went for his 2-year appraisal, you know, from work or whatever, and said, he's doing very well.
You're fired.
Yeah, you're sacked. Get out. And they said, well, actually, don't worry about it too much because... With regards to development, the lady said, well, some kids are thinkers and some kids are doers.
Mm.
And she said, does he sit and sort of, will he concentrate on something for any length of time? And I'm like, well, not really. He will do if it's a car or if it's something he can be doing. He'll concentrate. So like, and is he active most of the time? I said, yeah, he's all over the place. So how good is he with his hands? And she was watching him doing stuff, and he's actually more advanced for his age with his motor skills.
Mm.
But behind with his speaking and his sort of cerebral stuff.
Yeah.
So that kind of put my mind at ease a little bit, because, like, for example, his cousin Ethan, he is very much the opposite. He's really clever. He's speaking so much quicker, and I mean, he is a second child, so he's learning a lot from his brother.
Yeah.
Which I think does help.
And Ethan's about a year younger.
He's about a year younger than Rue, and sort of, he's ahead of Rue vocally, sort of,
right,
from a speech point of view.
It's like that kind of makes you worry, doesn't it, when you compare them to definitely. Other kids
and like what, and other kids at nursery and stuff. But what you do notice is that, for example, Ethan, I know he's a lot younger, but he's a lot more clumsy than Rue. Like, he can't deal with the same sort of precision with his fingers and stuff, which you'd expect. But then at nursery, there are kids the same age as Rue that still nowhere near us. Like, he can deal with stuff, and that's very, very small and precise and very choky. I worry less, because it's not like he's not going to talk. But now he's copying stuff, which is terrifying.
Yeah.
So me and Jed will just be talking in the front of the car, and he'll say something that we've said.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, fuck off, you fucking twisting bastard, cunning bastard. Oh dear, I shouldn't have said that in front of my son.
You shouldn't talk that way to Jade either.
Daddy Shark. Food can cause such a lot of problems in those kind of situations, can't they? We have to kind of basically dress up carby stodge.
Right.
In order for him to have it.
Well, like, the way Sonia approaches food with the boys is similar to how she did with me. not sneaking food in, but I would ask her to kind of, like, with spinach. I started eating spinach. I didn't know anything about spinach, really.
Yeah.
Popeye.
Yeah.
And thought, it's probably horrible. Look at it. But it's not. It doesn't really taste of much, if anything. And you can buy it frozen, you know, those frozen blocks, chop it up, and then put it in a...
They're good, those, because they're like, you put them in stuff and then it's invisible.
Yeah, it, like putting a tomato sauce or whatever.
Yeah.
It just sort of blends in, but it's really good for you. It's just like a superfood. Stuff like that, or carrots, or lots of little things. Chop them up, blend it in, or chop it up small, tuck it under something.
Under the bed.
For me, it's visual, or you know, if I see something, you go, oh. Like Johnny now... Sonny will always put like peas and sweet corn or broccoli or whatever on his plate. Most of the time, he says, "I don't want to eat that."
Yeah.
He says, "Fine, don't eat it, but it's on your plate."
Yeah, it's there.
So it's been a long time, and sometimes like it doesn't really eat any of it. But maybe one day.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm hoping as well. We ruined mashed potato for him. It's only taken him about 6 months to come back round to mashed potato.
Do you make it really kind of luxury mashed potato, like butter and cheese and cream and...
Yeah, we do now.
Right.
But we used to hide stuff in it.
Oh, I see. Right.
So, broccoli.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, all that kind of stuff hidden in your... What the fuck is this? It's rubbish.
I think Sonia is good at sneaking food into stuff, but she'll get too adventurous.
Yeah, and then you've got to take it back a notch.
Yeah, and that ruins things for a while. You have to kind of
And then like, I've rumbled you, mother.
Yeah, and that will be it. Or sometimes she'll make something a certain way, and he'll eat it. And then one day she can't do it, so I'll make it. But I do it slightly wrong. I tell him what's in it, like, because Johnny loves to help in the kitchen, which is great most of the time. If he messes about, he's banned for the rest of the day.
Oh,
but he loves to be in the kitchen, and
he's going to be the right little chef, isn't he? What with his pizza?
Yeah,
and...
yeah, he loves sort of making food and cake and everything. So he's got a little chair that we'll put up and stand, and he'll help. And
you give him all the sharp knives.
Well, we tried to sort of trust him with a few things, but sometimes he's more of a hindrance.
Does he get a bit stabby?
Yeah, it's more that he loses concentration and he'll start messing about with something and spill something over. Right, get out.
Out of the kitchen.
Really strict.
You're sacked.
There's sharp things, there's hot things. You have to be very careful. You have to listen to what we say in the kitchen.
Right. Oh, that's quite good. I like it.
So as soon as he sort of, you know...
cocks up.
Yeah, he's out.
Look at when he messes up the hollandaise, he is out. You're binned, mate. Yeah. Get out. What the f*** are you calling
this? My hollandaise. That's what he says.
You're like Gordon Ramsay. Do you talk to him like Gordon Ramsay?
It's burnt.
This is shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You fucking idiot.
I think that was really good, though, because I really enjoy cooking. And it'd be cool if he could help me and get involved and stuff. And he helps Jade with the baking. He stirs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're at a stage where we can't really impose... I was talking to Sonia about discipline. And it's so hard at this stage.
It's tricky. You don't want to be too hard. You don't want to be too soft.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I'd just be like you and just trap his fingers in the door and, you
punch
know,
him in the face.
Punch him in the face.
I mean, he's a very violent man, and I'm sure any family occasion could turn into a dangerous liaison. Morning, Shout Radio. It is Tuesday morning and it's 8:40, just turned 8:46 now, and this is Tony Brennan. And you'll have heard this in the news, a recent study proving that men's diets would produce healthier breast milk than women's. So it's time for our hot potato.
Hot potato.
Should men be given hormone injections and breastfeed their babies? Let's speak to Dr. Les Paywall. He is the head paediatrician at St. Colin's Hospital. And to Cecil Fingers, who's a member of the Alpha Male Meninist Group. Good morning to you both.
Morning.
Morning. Dr. Paywall, I'll come to you first. Is it true, Doctor, I heard a rumour that it is true that men have the ability to breastfeed, but they need to start doing it when they're teenagers, otherwise they lose that ability. So we'd have to start giving these hormones from a really rather young age, wouldn't we?
Yes, you would need to start maybe the same time as you start learning how to ride a bike. Then maybe we could have some kind of injection system.
In the saddle?
In the saddle, exactly. Maybe up the rectal passage. I think we would all enjoy that.
Why not? Cecil Fingers, member of Alpha Male. It's a Meninist group. Cecil, what's your problem with this?
What the f***ing bother? Tits, right, are supposed to be for the pleasure of men. Twat.
Yeah, Dr. Paywall, did any of that make sense to you?
What I would like to say is that the point you raised about breasts being for the pleasure of men, if you were a man and you had your own breasts, then you could pleasure yourself all day.
Cecil,
and,
you'd do that, wouldn't you? Cecil, if you could have your own boobs, then that would save you your weekly trip to Winston's, wouldn't it?
Well, that is true, yes. I do have a quite beautiful pair of breasts.
But they're not real breasts, are they, Cecil? I mean, technically, they're moobs.
I expect they probably could feed a child, but you would have to cook them first.
Dr. Paywall, can you cook breast?
If you were a duck... you could cook them, or chicken, or a cat.
Cat's breast.
Cat breast, very popular in Chechnya.
Okay, well, guys, we're going to have to leave it there. I think we're out of time. Dr. Les Paywall.
The recommended age to start keeps changing.
Oh, it's bollocks.
It was 6 months for a long time,
yeah.
And then... the food companies, sneaky,
bastards.
Who are they?
Nestle, probably.
Well, Nestle. And Hib.
Sorry?
Hib.
Procter & Gamble.
No, not them. They're bastards in a different way.
what do they make?
Hip.
Oh, Hip Organic.
Yeah. Well, all of them.
All those wankers.
They, Cowangate.
They're Nestle.
They start their food range from 4 months plus.
Right.
To sort of... So they get an extra 2 months out of you when it's not... That's not the kind of recommended thing. You're sort of going against all the evidence and they go, well... We'll get an extra 2 months of sales out of this.
It could be so. I think when we were first doing it, and the health visitor was like, oh, no, no, you don't need to start weaning them now. You don't need to, you know, then you don't need to, you shouldn't be putting them on proper food until whenever. I think it was like 6 months at the time. Mm. And we were like, but he's hungry. You know, the milk just isn't cutting it.
Yeah.
And so we were bolstering it with all this other stuff.
Mm.
And he's not got a weight problem. He's not like, he is as lean as it gets because he's so much energy. And so he doesn't put weight on at all. And every time we've been in, they've just said, yeah, he's fine. He's small for his age.
Mm.
But on sort of the growth and proportion side of things, he's absolutely fine.
Well, that's good. As long as they're on the percentile.
Is that what it is? Yeah, he's on one of them.
Scale thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But a friend of mine had a baby in April. And she's being told that it's 10 months. Shouldn't start.
10 months?
Yeah, giving them food till 10 months.
There ain't no way we'd have waited until 10 months. Because he'd have just been, he'd have been starving.
Yeah. Well, I think
there's no amount of milk in the world that would fill him up. Well, and it's bloody expensive, is that stuff as well, if you're buying formula.
Yeah.
God.
That's it. Breastfeeding, at least it's free.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Although you have to eat more.
Jade wasn't particularly good with eating enough.
Right.
But okay, you know, she still had plenty of the stuff, and I'm sure it was absolutely fine. But he just wasn't strong enough at the time to latch on properly.
Mm.
And what was happening was he was falling asleep through tiredness,
yeah,
not through being full.
Yeah.
So he would wake up and he'd be hungry, but he wasn't sort of growing quickly enough just on the breastfeed. So it's right now. And at first I was like, no, I don't want to just give him formula. I want him to be 100% breastfed. And actually, in the hindsight, the best thing we ever did was put him on formula.
Right, yeah.
But I just worry about all the shit that goes into those kind of things. It's just man-made crap, whereas you can have good boobies milk.
Yes. Yeah, well, it's a fine line to tread.
It is. Did you try any?
Oh, what, the breast milk?
Yeah.
No.
Did you not?
No. Did you?
Yeah, I might have done.
Right.
Not like I wasn't allowed
not from
it
from the source.
I wasn't allowed it from the source.
Right.
But I did, you know, from the bottle. Like, boop.
Yeah.
It's just sweet.
Yeah.
It's not really oats. It tastes sweet and sort of irony.
Soya milk.
Yeah, it does actually.
Right.
It's not like cow's milk. I won't be putting it in my tea anytime soon.
No, and, you know, I mean, we're kind of squeamish enough without...
Yeah, I know.
Where's that come from? A human.
Right, and I don't know whether we've covered this in a previous thing, but there's a market for it, for perverts.
Oh, no.
Yeah, where there's filth, there's fivers. But there's a
I wondered why you had that written on your van.
There's a market for it. You can milk yourself. There are legitimate non-perverted.
You're talking to me.
Yeah. There are non-perverted means. You can sell it. I think you can sell it to restaurants that will make ice cream and stuff out of it.
For people?
Yeah, for humans.
Right.
I think you can donate it to people that need it. I don't know. Well, the babies that need.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I think you can do that. Or you can sell it to perverts.
Right. Well, I guess it's a...
I bet you can't guess which one makes you the most money.
Well, exactly, yeah. We could do with a bit of
extra
sideline, yeah.
That's what I think. Knickers and tit milk.
Right, we've got both of them.
Exactly. Why are you not capitalising on it?
I don't know.
It's a brilliant idea. It could be, you know, I keep trying to persuade Jade, you know, but she's not having any of it.
Right.
So.
Shame.
I said I'd wear them. I'll wear the knickers, you know, and then we'll just tell him that she's been the one that's wearing them. And then send them off. Extra musky.
Oh, dear. Did you try baby-led weaning? Do you know what baby-led weaning means?
No, I'm not sure I do. Enlighten me, please.
So that's when...
to do with the metal, lead.
No.
Baby lead weaning.
No, you don't give them lead.
You point a gun at their head. It's
generally frowned upon.
Yeah.
Giving them
Although,
lead.
Given your discipline tactics.
I'm not some kind of maniac. Beats the kids.
We shouldn't make light of this.
I leave that to Sonia.
Brute.
So baby-led weaning is where you sit the baby down in a high chair or whatever, and you put the food in front of them, like little chopped up bits of carrot or whatever, mm-hmm. and leave them to it and see if
they
eat it.
I thought that was just weaning anyway. Like, why? Right, because, like, yeah, we didn't... Yeah, then yes is the answer. Because I thought there was nothing much else to it. Just like, hey, this is baby-led just means do it your f***ing self.
Yes, but you do the majority of that rather than sort of puree and spooning it into their mouth.
Okay, yeah. And we did a lot of the spooning.
Yeah.
Thinking about it, you know, like university. They talk about... nursery, right? So you go, well, what's your educational system at nursery? And they go, oh, it's baby-led, or, you know, it's play-led learning, or child-led learning. So that basically means they're just going to do it themselves, which would mean, by extension, university is like baby-led learning. They just go, here, go on, do it yourself.
Do you know, weirdly, I started university in 1999. And
so old.
It was either the first or second year.
When, 1989.
No, it was the first year of tuition fees.
Right.
And by that, it was like comparatively not much, like a grand a term or whatever.
Oh yeah,
it
was cheap when I was there. And you know, I mean, that was a good 20 years after you.
Right. And I the first thing we went to was some kind of introductory lecture. They said, we've got a new approach to the teaching here at the university, where we take the emphasis off us teaching you
and put it
on you learning.
Yeah.
So why have we just paid you a grand? Like, for you to do less?
Yeah, I know. Well, that was even worse, because when I went to uni, and I was on the... as was the same, it was like a grand a year. Which is still stupidly expensive. But... If a lecturer didn't turn up to a lecture, which frequently happened, you know, you'd haul your sweatpant-wearing ass out of bed and get into uni for them not to turn up. I'd be like, hold on a minute, I'm paying for this. That's like me turning up to the cinema and them going, nah, it's just not on today. but I've paid for my ticket.
That's a good point, actually.
Yeah, I'm just not. No, we're not doing it. You know, if you could just go home.
Maybe they owe me some money.
I bet they do.
Yeah. Interest.
Right, kids.
Yeah.
If you're going to uni now, start a revolution. This could be a big thing. This could be as big as PPI claiming. Let's start a company right now.
Ooh.
This is copyrighted. You let us know how many lectures you missed because the lecturer wasn't there.
Mm.
And we will write to the universities and we will get you your money back.
Right, I'm just gonna say that, you know, that's your job.
Okay, I'll do that.
Between this and selling Sonia's breast milk,
I am just all over it. I know. Dragon's Den, here we come.
Yeah.
Daddy Shark.
What was your first high chair?
What, for Roo?
Yeah.
Oh, we
yeah, not
had...
yours.
Nah, I'm gonna say.
Probably won't remember.
It's reaching a bit far. It was a Bumbo. We've never actually had a high chair. Oh, no, we have had a high chair at my mum's. That was a Mamiya from Aldi.
Right.
But it was a bit slopey-backy. It was a bit recliny.
Oh, right.
So not ideal.
Well, Bumbos are good.
Bumbo was great. We got given that from somebody, a friend of ours.
For anyone who doesn't know, it's like it looks a bit like a potty.
Yeah, it does actually, doesn't it?
But with a bit that comes up between the legs, and you can fit a tray to it.
You can.
Or you can just sit them there, and usually it's when they're small enough that they can't get out.
It was great, actually. We used to put it on the worktop.
I remember coming round and you had him on the worktop and I was on edge the whole time.
It was great.
In case he just leant forward and
he just
toppled out.
Sit on the worktop and watch me do stuff and he was happy.
Yeah.
No problem at all. Yes, though, that said, he did once, not off the worktop, off the chair. And just launch himself out of it.
Oh my God.
And I was like, ah! In fact, I don't think it was in that particular one. We got a second Bumbo, which was a bit more snazzy. So it was a plastic Bumbo, with the foamy insert in it.
Yeah, because they're quite sort of heavy, foamy kind of things,
good.
Aren't they?
So squidgy and they grip really well.
Yeah.
Anyway, this one had straps and also a table and stuff, which was really good. But it was designed so you could strap it to a chair in place of a high chair.
Right, yes.
So you just have a normal chair sat at a normal table. Yeah. But it went on that, and then you strapped it around the bottom and around the back.
Yeah.
And that was really good. He had that for a while. But he doesn't use anything now. He just sits at the table. And he's fine. He's much happier. He doesn't like being restrained.
Yeah.
So if we go out to a restaurant, he'll sit in a high chair. But
all right, yeah.
He's happier if he's at the table with you.
Yeah. Bumbos are good for... You can move them around and everything.
It's good for sitting and... sitting him in front of the telly.
Right.
You really had to do that. More common than you'd think.
We got a high chair from eBay or something. It was like new. It was meant to be new, but it wasn't new.
Hmm.
We left them a bad review and they were annoyed.
Ooh.
But anyway, it was kind of snazzy-ish. It was sort of nice and padded and soft and plastic and shiny, but with sort of foamy inserts and nice and looked really comfortable. Quite big and sturdy.
Yeah.
It was only since getting rid of that we realised that that is sort of the worst kind you can have.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be particularly comfortable.
No.
And it doesn't need to be absolutely massive,
which lots
of them are.
Well, we were nearly given one from, I think it was from Jade's brother and sister-in-law. And that was the same. It was huge. Mm. It used to take up so much space.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and even when you folded it down, it's like big plastic and chunky and stuff. I'm like, no, we don't want that.
Because you fold them up, put them against the wall, but they just sort of fall over really easily. The best one we found, generally, and lots of places use them, are the IKEA plastic.
The ones that are really high chairs. Simple.
Really, really basic.
Yeah, those are the best.
Yeah, they don't take up too much room. You can take the tray off.
And if you're feeling a little bit more like you want something a little... classier than plastic, you can go for the wooden ones, which are equally as easy.
Yeah.
From IKEA and cheap. They're about 15 quid,
yeah,
aren't they?
I think they're about 15 quid.
Don't go out and spend loads of money on high chair. You don't need it.
It's really, really easy to use and to clean.
And I think it's better if you have the ability to have them at a table.
Mm.
So if you've got a table in your house,
yeah.
Then it's better that they can sit at the table with you anyway, surely.
Take the tray off.
Yeah.
Easy. And also, the legs come off really easily. They just pop out with these sort of clicks.
Yeah, and you can store
them. Because if we go see some people, we might take the high chair with us.
Yeah,
just bang it in the boot.
Yeah, we used to do that with the Bumbo.
Yeah.
Because that's why I like the fact that the Bumbo would just sit on anybody's chair.
Yeah.
You could just pop it on the chair and it was fine.
Yeah.
So. Great thing for your kitchen helping.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever heard of... It's just called a little helper.
Right.
And it is a box, basically.
Right.
So, if you imagine, I think it's a German thing, and I can't remember the name of the actual company, so that's not. But if you Google Little Helper,
right,
what it is like a rectangular box that has quite a wide base on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's made of wood, and it has an adjustable height sort of base to it.
Okay.
So what you can do is you can push it up against the work surface, put your child in it, and you can, depending on how tall they are, you can have it so they can stand up against the worktop.
Mm-hmm.
Then they can't fall over, they can't fall off a step or anything because they're contained within this box that comes up to the chest.
Right.
But they can help you out on the worktop.
Yeah.
And they are ace. My mum's got one of them. She got one for Roo and he loves it.
Yeah. Oh, good.
In fact, that replaced the high chair for a while. He would actually stand, which I didn't like in the long term, but it was easy because he would stand at the table and have his dinner or whatever. But it's better than he sits because, you know, we sit there now. But the only problem with them was they get filled full of crap.
I can imagine, yeah.
So you just end up with loads of rubbish in them, food and
lots of bits of bread and
cake,
peas
and things. So, they're good. Have a look, Little Helper. Good for helping in the kitchen.
Another top tip. I think we mentioned these before. Sleevey bibs.
Oh, Sleevey bibs.
Yeah. Again, I think
they're
from
IKEA.
He did a really
good album in the '60s.
Did
he? I think I've got one of his.
I prefer his early stuff.
Sleevey bibs.
Yeah, well, it's a more acoustic.
Yeah, we've got a Sleevey bib. It's great. So good.
Because we before we knew about them, we just put a normal bib on that covered
just under their neck.
Yeah, rubbish.
But when, especially if you're doing baby-led weaning or anything that's more kind of liquid, then it gets all over them.
Yeah.
Their arms and their mouth, and they're wiping their mouth with their arms.
Yeah.
And sleevey bibs. They're like hospital gowns.
Yeah, they are, aren't they?
Yeah.
Somebody needs to invent one, though, that's got the scoop at the front. So we need a sleevey bib. So sometimes, in the past, I have done sleevey bib topped with scoopy bib.
Yeah.
Because Rue loves porridge. Right. And I don't do it anymore particularly, but I can't be bothered putting him in a bib mostly now because he's pretty good. But he often ends up sat in a pool of his own porridge.
Right.
If he's not wearing anything except his nappy, he ends up with a nappy full of porridge, basically. sleevey bib with scoop. Yeah. Particularly good for porridge. How are your two with the spoon and cutlery skills?
Sid is already on it.
Is he?
He's using a fork.
Wow.
And he's using a spoon.
He's better than Rue then.
It's weird. Like his like you were talking about fine motor skills and that. His are really good quite early on. He can pick stuff up and eat it really easily. And he really likes to have a fork to do stuff.
Rue likes a fork. He gets a bit stabby with it.
Right.
Fork. Yeah, he's better with a spoon, I think, really. He's pretty good. He can scoop and spoon.
Mm.
And he doesn't do it backwards. He does it the right way around, which is good.
Well, we're still unsure if Johnny's left-handed or right-handed.
Oh.
Yeah.
He could just bind his left hand. So we can't use it.
What do they do in China?
Yeah, behind his back. I don't see. I don't think there's any problem with that.
Probably not.
Are you weird? Are you left-handed?
No.
What about Sonia?
No.
That's good. You're probably not then.
But we think Sid might be left-handed as well. Two of them.
Bind his hands as well.
Mm.
Definitely.
Yeah. I think, like with most things, they all develop at different times, different ages.
Mm.
And you'll know when it's time to start feeding them food.
Yeah, like don't starve your baby just because they say, don't do it, don't put them on solid food until 8 months old.
Yeah.
Until he's 27.
Anything before 4 months is pretty much a no-no. But after that, I mean sort of solid food anything that isn't milk or formula before 4 months is pretty much a no-no.
At least pureed. Can we have pureed things?
Not before 4 months.
Really?
Yeah.
What about beer?
Well, obviously beer's fine.
And hide your faddy food problems.
And try and get as many different foods into them as early as possible before they know that something's weird.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you leave it too late where they go, what's this? Yeah. They'll go, they probably won't eat it.
Mm.
That's it.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, in a way.
In a way. It's been a roller coaster ride as this one, I tell you. Yeah. We've had some ups, some downs.
Yeah, we have.
Some filth, as usual.
As usual.
Yeah. Well, as usual, like, subscribe,
share. Tell your friends. Blah-de-blah-de-blah.
Feed your children.
Bye-bye.
Bye then.